Here are all the John Lothian News daily updates from the week of September 28th, 2020.
This is Matt Rabel, filling in for John Lothian, here to bring you your JLN daily update from today's newsletter dated September 28th, 2020. Let's get down to business. Our first read for the day comes to us from JLN editor Tom Thompson in the form of an article entitled DOJ Obtains Mixed Verdicts in Spoofing Case. A COVID-19 depleted jury returned unanimous verdicts for each of the 17 counts in the criminal spoofing case brought against two former Deutsche Bank traders James Forley and Cedric Chenu. The decisions by the 11 jurors were announced late on Friday afternoon at the Dirksen Courthouse on South Dearborn Street in Chicago. The charges stemmed from illicit trading activities that occurred between 2008 and 2013. The two traders worked together on the precious metals futures desk in London until Chenu moved to the Singapore office, where he served in the same role before leaving the bank in 2013. Forley was found guilty on 3 of 9 charges against him. Chenu was found guilty on 7 of 11 charges. They were charged with wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Deutsche Bank earlier agreed to $30 million to settle related charges with the CFTC. To read the rest of this commentary, go to johnlothiannews.com. Now let's take a look at some hits and takes from John Lothian and the JLN staff. John Lothian writes, "The New York Times dropped a bombshell of a story about President Donald Trump's financial and tax-paying history on Sunday. One can only guess the impact this news will have on the upcoming presidential election, but one can see now why President Trump so desperately wanted to keep his taxes private." From a reader, quote, "Exchange-traded derivatives educator to thousands of people, Kevin Baldwin passed away yesterday after complications of a long illness. Kevin had taught and traveled the world for over 20 years at REFCO, the NFA, IFM, and OCC. He also peppered his career as an MD of an innovative IB in NYC." End quote. A longtime reader with a history of working for banks reached out to me about our new video series, The Path to Electronic Trading. He helped deploy several of the leading platforms for electronic trading. This will be a great addition to the series. If you have a story of how you played a part in the path to electronic trading, please contact me. Bridget Trafford has joined LSEG as Chief Communications and Marketing Officer. My camping trip with my wife Cheryl has been extended by a day, and we are still in southern Illinois in the Shawnee National Forest. She has enjoyed the camping experience, which is good news. She has the advantage of having a former scoutmaster as a husband, who has been on more than 100 scout camping trips. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. Our next take comes from JLN Editor-in-Chief Sarah Rudolph, who writes, FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan made the following statement in reaction to the EC and ESMA decisions to formally grant temporary equivalence and recognition for clearinghouses based in the UK, which allow them to continue to provide clearing services in the EU at the end of the transition period between the EU and the UK. Quote, "Today's decision by ESMA and the recognition of UK CCPs, combined with the European Commission's adoption of time-limited equivalence, ensures financial stability, operational continuity, and market access for customers. During these uncertain times, it is imperative that businesses have access to clearinghouses and the risk-mitigating services they provide. FIA thanks the leadership shown by EC Executive Vice President Valdis Dombrovskis and ESMA Chairman Stephen Meyer in making these important determinations." Suzanne Cosgrove writes, "The STA's 2020 Market Structure Virtual Conference kicks off a busy fall conference season next week on October 7th and 8th. Speakers include Representative Bill Huizinga of Michigan, Dan Gallagher, Chief Legal Officer at Robinhood, Ed Tilley, Chairman and CEO of Cboe Global Markets, and others. More details can be found at securitytraders.org. And last but certainly not least, we've got my own takes for the day. First, the Bank of England and ESMA have agreed on an information-sharing deal, which was needed to allow some European banks to keep using London clearinghouses until June 2020. Cryptocurrency DeFi trading platforms are getting big, especially Uniswap, which now has more than $2 billion worth of digital assets locked in its protocol, the first DeFi platform to reach this milestone. Check out our newsletter for a link to that explanation. And also check out johnlothiannews.com for this week's edition of The Spread. This week's edition is entitled, The Spread, This Is How It's Done. This week on The Spread, record high $1 billion worth of Bitcoin options expire, the OCC publishes best practices and a plan for the future, and more. Let's move on to our top stories for the day. Matt Egan from CNN published a story entitled Wall Street is Shunning Trump. Campaign donations to Biden are five times larger. President Trump is promising four more years of low taxes, light regulation, and a laser focus on the stock market. Yet professionals on Wall Street are shunning Trump and funneling staggering amounts of money to his opponent. The securities and investment industry donated just $10.5 million to Trump's presidential campaign, and outside groups aligned with it, according to a new tally by Open Secrets. It has sent nearly five times as much cash, $51.1 million, to Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. John Lothian commented on the story saying, "Follow the money." Crane's editorial board published a story entitled Time to Lay a LaSalle Tax to Rest, Opinion. New Jersey's proposed tax on financial exchange transactions would likely send New York-based NASDAQ's massive data center business packing from the Garden State. There are lessons for us here. We can only hope that Chicago aldermen have the week of October 26 circled on their calendars. They might even want to be on hand that week to welcome part of the NASDAQ exchange business that's expected to come to town from the East Coast, that is, if they can find any outward sign of it. John Lothian comments, "As long as there are elections to run in, there will be proposals to tax the markets. There's too much campaign cash to extort by legal means." Sam Potter from Bloomberg published a story entitled Every Day Trader Dollar is Worth Five in a New Theory on Stocks. Day traders claiming bragging rights for this year's $9 trillion U.S. equity rebound can find some supporting evidence in the latest research. Even as retail trading has grown to represent 20% of daily volume, Wall Street has struggled to figure out how much of this modest-sized contingent actually influences prices. After all, the market is teeming with algorithmic funds, long-only managers, and more. But a fresh way to understand stock fluctuations via academics at Harvard University and the University of Chicago makes the effort a little easier. John Lothian comments, "Dumb money can be worth a lot." Paula Spann from the New York Times published a story entitled In Isolating Times, Can Robo-Pets Provide Comfort? When Linda Spangler asked her mother in a video chat what she would like as a gift for her 92nd birthday, the response came promptly. "I'd like a dog," Charlene Spangler said. "Is Wolfgang dead?" Wolfgang, a family dachshund, had indeed died long ago. So had all of his successors. Miss Spangler, who lives in a dementia care facility in Oakland, California, has trouble recalling such history. Jeff Bergstrom comments, "You still have to walk it or it'll leave batteries on the floor." Our top story from Friday, September 25th, was Crane's Chicago businesses, CME changes rules to smooth out trading. Second was Matt Gaetz accuses GOP's Kelly Loeffler of bribing Trump with $50 million to push out her rival from Slate via Yahoo News. Third was the Financial Times, the prop trading that got away. This has been Matt Rabel filling in for John Lothian. Keep safe and have a great day.
This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 29th, 2020. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Today's lead story is about the impact of the pandemic on New York real estate. The story is about 1 in 10 office workers who have returned to the office since COVID-19 hit. The story is titled, Manhattan Offices Are Nearly Empty, Threatening New York City's Recovery. The Wall Street Journal also has a story titled, Recreational Vehicle Sales Rise as New Buyers Take to the Highway. Having just come back from a camping trip where the camping area was full of RVs and has been since the pandemic broke, I can confirm the basis of this story. RVs are a great way to get out into the open air and have your own living space. I will also say the people camping were more reserved and did not engage with their neighbors as much. They kept their social distance and more. Sarah Rudolph is reporting that the American Financial Exchange and University of Chicago Law School will host a webinar on October 5th called The Role of Regional, Mid-Sized, and Community Banks in the Economy and Job Creation, with Brian Brooks, Acting Controller, Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the OCC, not the Options Clearing Corporation. The webinar will take place at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find the agenda on our website. The Security Traders Association has released a new episode of its Trading Views podcast. In episode 4 of STA's Trading Views, STA spoke to former SEC Commissioner Troy Paredes of Paredes Strategies, LLC, about AI, recent developments at the SEC, and insights on how to track issues you care about post-presidential election. STA also highlighted Paredes' bi-monthly podcast, Appetite for Disruption, which focuses on the business and regulation of fintech. The lawsuit against the creators of the DAI stablecoin has moved to arbitration after Judge Maxine Chesney granted a motion by the Maker Foundation. The lawsuit alleges the foundation misrepresented the risks of using its platform to its user. The Singapore Exchange announced that the SGX bull charge beneficiaries received the largest single donation in recent years from the AMTD Charity Foundation. AMTD Charity Foundation donated a total of $1 million to the SGX Bull Charge and Community Chest. It's the 17th annual charity run, transformed into a two-week virtual fundraiser, and it kicks off on October 30th. Beneficiaries of SGX Bull Charge, the flagship charity initiative of the Singapore Exchange, have received a boost from AMTD Charity Foundation amid a challenging year for fundraising. AMTD Charity Foundation is donating 500,000 Singapore dollars to SGX Bull Charge ahead of its 17th annual charity run, the largest single contribution in recent years. The proceeds will be channeled through the community chest to this year's adopted beneficiaries in Singapore. In addition, AMTD will donate 500,000 Singapore dollars directly to the community chest, with whom it will work to identify charities and programs to support. Memorabilia trading app raises $17 million. Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian joined the fundraising round. A New York-based app on which users can trade against vintage cars, fancy wines, and baseball cards just received a cash injection from a handful of investors, including Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. Launched in 2017, Rally Road platform gives almost 200,000 users access to alternative investments in collectibles. This story was from the Wall Street Journal. From the Department of Justice comes the story that owner of Bitcoin Exchange convicted of racketeering conspiracy for laundering millions of dollars in international cyber fraud scheme. A Bulgarian national was found guilty today for his role in a transnational and multi-million dollar scheme to defraud American victims through online auction fraud. Acting Assistant Attorney General Brian C. Rabbit of the Justice Department's Criminal Division, U.S. Attorney Robert M. Duncan Jr. of the Eastern District of Kentucky, Assistant Director Michael D. Ambrosio of the U.S. Secret Service's Offices of Investigations, and Kentucky State Police Commissioner Rodney Brewer made the announcement. The top three stories from Monday's JLN were the following. Number one was dumb money is fueling one of the biggest lies on Wall Street, researchers say, from CNBC, mostly referring to Robinhood retail traders. Second was Bloomberg's inside the JP Morgan trading desk, the U.S. called a crime ring about the JP Morgan precious metals trading desk. Third was JLN's DOJ obtains mixed verdicts in spoofing case by Tom Thompson. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section from today's John Lothian newsletter for September 30th, 2020. Tom Thompson's story about JP Morgan leads off JLN today. The story is titled JP Morgan, tens of thousands of episodes of unlawful trading. Government settles against banking giant for almost $1 billion. Here's the beginning of the story. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company has agreed to pay the U.S. government $920 million in fines and disgorgement to settle spoofing charges. It is the largest payment ever agreed to by a defendant to settle a futures market manipulation charge. In the case that has been brewing for the past several years, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Securities Exchange Commission, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission announced a joint settlement with J.P. Morgan for spoofing in metals futures, U.S. Treasury futures, and the Treasury Securities cash market for a period from 2008 to 2016. As part of the settlement, the DOJ agreed to deferred prosecution for 3 years, during which the bank is to report any violations involving it or its employees and to document and report all of its undertakings to remediate trading violations that occur or have occurred. To read the rest of the story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments from today's Hits and Takes section of JLN. One has never seen everything, as the world is full of randomness and wonder. However, last night's debate knocked something off the list, something I had never seen before. The U.S. presidential election debate between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden was an absolute mess. My recommendation is for the other two debates to be canceled. No good can come to the U.S., its children, or the world from more of this type of chaos and disaster. See the lead story, a commentary from Jonathan Bernstein of Bloomberg, for his take. In case you wonder what Senator Kelly Loeffler's take on the debate was, here is one tweet from her. Real Donald Trump crushed Joe Biden tonight and proved exactly why he deserves 4 more years. The FT has a story titled How Davy Day Trader Stoked a Bond Market Rally. Surges highlight the power of hype and charismatic promoter. Davy the Day Trader is a new one on me. It makes you wonder who Scarlet the Scalper or Spencer the Spreader are. And of course, there's Sven the Swing Trader. The FT also has a story, Could Rhymes Prevent Financial Crimes? Poems are the latest weapon to fight against bank fraud. My rhyme is, roses are red, violets are blue, my money is green, and I am hanging up on you. The UK has recorded the highest daily number of coronavirus cases since the pandemic hit, and the largest number of deaths since July 1st, the FT reported. Registration for DC FinTech Week 2020 is now open. Register at dcfintechweek.org. MyX Pearl, Miami International Holdings' first equity exchange, completed its first day of live trading yesterday. 16 member firms participated in the nascent exchange's launch on September 29th. 888 orders were sent, resulting in 30 trades for 2,075 total shares traded, according to an email statement by MIH Chairman and CEO Thomas Gallagher, the exchange experienced no operational or technical issues. TRACFIN, the French ministry that tracks financial fraud, terror financing, and money laundering, has arrested 29 people across France suspected of funding and providing logistical support to terror cells active in France. According to an ABC News report, the suspects used cryptocurrency vouchers as part of their money laundering operations. The report said that two main figures of the operation, still at large, are hiding somewhere in northwestern Syria. Today we have a podcast from Suzanne Cosgrove titled Cannabis Sector Outperforms S&P 500 as U.S. Sales Grow. To get the rest of the podcast, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are some additional stories from the first read section of today's JLN. One Eurex, welcome to our refresh branding. Since Eurex's founding, innovation has been in our DNA. We are known in the markets as pioneers. We disrupted European derivatives markets when we launched in 1988, and we've continued to relentlessly innovate ever since. Our values haven't changed. We remain ingenious, agile, and resilient, shaping markets and delivering innovative solutions for our clients. Yet, as you can see the reading of this article on our website, something has now changed. Our branding. The new website from Eurex, what has changed? Eurex refreshed its brand, resulting in new colors, imagery, typefaces, logos on the website. We sat down with Cornelius Mueller, head of marketing, to find out what else changed. A new design on our website. Anything else new? A new domain. We moved from eurexexchange.com to eurex.com. This is now the leading site featuring all Eurex services from listed derivatives, clearing to repo. A single domain reflects how we see ourselves and also the market perceives us. One Eurex. This is also reflected in the branding where we have the same look and feel across the entire Eurex universe. And fresh new visuals are applied throughout all pages. Have fun discovering it. In non-market related news, the New York Times reported the sad news that singer Helen Reddy, the woman behind I Am Woman, died at the age of 78. The Australian-born singer's first number one hit became a feminist anthem and propelled her to international stardom. Helen Reddy, the Australian singer, 1972 hit song I Am Woman became the feminist anthem of the decade and propelled her to international pop music stardom, died Tuesday in Los Angeles. She was 78. The Wall Street Journal reported colleges use targeted lockdowns, online classes to preserve fall semester. Quarantines and short shifts to web instructions are the last-ditch efforts before schools change course for the whole term. Providence College put itself on lockdown last month, barring students who live on campus from traveling into town and telling those who live off campus to shelter in place using food delivery services. Classes moved online. Students could socialize only with their roommates. Their goal? Save the semester. Here are the top three red stories from yesterday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was the Wall Street Journal's Manhattan offices are nearly empty, threatening New York City's recovery. Second was the Financial Times' Hong Kong exchange announces interim chief as Charles Lee hastens departure. Third was another story from the Wall Street Journal, how to climb the corporate ladder while working remotely. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for September 29th, 2020. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section. The thing I like about JPX is that when one of their markets has an issue, they apologize for the inconvenience to investors. I appreciate their apology, even if it was the hardware's malfunctioning's fault. Bloomberg is reporting that two decades after Mad Cow, British beef is heading to the U.S. again. British beef is on the way to the U.S. for the first time in at least two decades, at a time when food remains a sticking point between the countries in post-Brexit trade talks. Economist Austin Goolsbee has a commentary in the Wall Street Journal titled, "Big Companies Are Starting to Swallow the World." The exuberant rebound of large companies while their small competitors struggle will require more vigilant government antitrust action than ever before, an economist says. The Finner Foundation awarded the 2020 Ketchum Prize to Michael Morris, a key architect of the ABLE Act, recognized for efforts to advance financial capability for people with disabilities. This year, the SEC has made a record 39 individual awards for its whistleblower program of approximately $175 million, more than any previous year. Brian Mehta, the chief marketing officer of Trading Technologies, has a commentary on LinkedIn titled "Staying Creative" about how to keep your team creative during this time of COVID-19 when everyone is working from home. Three Points Communications is looking for a fintech intern in Chicago. Let them know if you know someone who's looking for a job like that. Also, IEX is looking for a systems reliability engineer, or DevOps, or WebOps, or SystemOps, as it's called. Here are some of the hits and takes comments from the JLN staff. From Tom Thompson, occurring on October 20th this year, the annual Chicago Conference on Futures and Derivatives, sponsored by Thompson Coburn and Exchange Analytics, is taking the form of a webinar featuring panels on regulation and enforcement. The event moderator is Mark Nagel. Additional panel information and registration are available. Reminder, FIA is holding its Legal Opinions Primer webinar on Tuesday, the 13th of October from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. BST. If you're an experienced user of FIA Legal Opinions, new to the world of FIA netting and other legal opinions for regulatory capital purposes, or just curious as to why FIA maintains a library of legal opinions, tune in to hear experts from Clifford Chance LLP and FIA explain the types of legal opinions that FIA maintains, their structure and purpose in the context of regulatory capital requirements. To register, go to FIA.org. This is the sixth year Wall Street RISE has held its event to raise money for autism research. RISE FAR has raised over $1.5 million and has more than 35 corporate sponsors this year, including CBOE as a diamond sponsor. In this JLN video, CBOE Executive Vice President and Head of Markets Brian Harkins talked with me about how the event is different this year in response to COVID, the community of people who sponsor and take part in the ride, and how it benefits those on the autism spectrum. This year, the opening ceremony will be streamed live on Facebook and Twitter, and participants will ride individually wherever they are throughout the world. Matt Rabel has a podcast in today's JLN titled Tim McCourt from the CME Group on Micro E-Mini Options. Go to johnlothiannews.com to hear it. Here are some additional stories from the first read section of today's JLN. The Financial Times is reporting, Why Europeans No Longer Dream of America. It was once seen as a place of reinvention, but our attitudes to the U.S. are shifting from envy to compassion. In Franz Kafka's first novel, America, 1927, a teenage boy from Central Europe is sent to the U.S. in disgrace, having seduced the family maid. It later emerges that she, a giant, terrifying, Kafkaesque ogre, did the seducing. In New York Harbor, the boy is welcomed by a wealthy stranger, his uncle, who turns out to be a U.S. senator. The ship's captain offers congratulations. A shining career awaits you. The Wall Street Journal reported a YouTuber hangs out his own jingle with an auction website. Doug DeMuro has a strong following for his giddy videos about exotic and quirky cars. Cars and Bids, his new site, got off to a roaring start. Making the most important pitch of his career, Doug DeMuro stood in cargo shorts in front of a camera, unwavering in his giddy demeanor. He was about to unveil his new car auction website to his 3.7 million YouTube subscribers. The site would feature cars that I like the most, he said. Reuters is reporting most executives seek work-life balance after experiencing pandemic blues. Nearly 8 out of 10 corporate executives have experienced poor mental health during the coronavirus, prompting a number of them to reevaluate and improve work-life balance, a survey showed on Monday. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday, by a large margin, was Trump embarrassed his country and himself, an opinion piece about the debate, of course, by Jonathan Bernstein of Bloomberg. Second was One Eurex. Welcome to our refreshed branding. Eurex's introduction to their newly designed website and branding. Third was the Financial Times, how Davy the Day Trader stoked a bond market rally about a dizzying rally in the bonds of Penn National Gaming. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 2nd, 2020. Today's JLN leads off with a story by Tom Thompson titled Healthy Outlook for 2020 Hemp Production. Here's the beginning of the story. There's some good news about industrial hemp production buried in Pan Exchange's September 2020 report, Hemp Benchmark and Analysis. Like last year, there has been a big jump this month in the monthly report of the number of planted hemp acres as the harvest progresses. The amended report confirms that growers were not so disheartened by last year's crop and this year's prices that they were giving up on hemp, and the numbers weren't so low as to make the long-term commercial viability of field-grown hemp look questionable. The numbers, especially the fact that 11,000 acres of hemp for grain are now reported, also confirm an impression that field-grown hemp is diversifying beyond the cash crop allure of CBD hemp. Pan Exchange suspects, though, that the underreporting might be greater for CBD growers because they are more likely to be new to agriculture and less familiar with the routine FSA reporting. Grain, seed, and fiber farmers, they feel, are more likely to be experienced farmers diversifying their plantings into hemp. Pan Exchange's researchers attribute such increases in reported acres to the fact that farmers have simply not been aware of the reporting programs. In states operating under USDA-approved plans, there is a clear requirement to report planted acreage to the Farm Service Agency. Hemp is a new crop, federal regulations are new, and coverage of hemp in FSA data is new. For the rest of the story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments from today's Hits and Takes section of JLN. First things first, my prayers are for President Donald Trump and his wife and all those who have contracted COVID-19. A quick and complete recovery. At the CFTC Technology Advisory Committee meeting on February 20th in Washington, D.C., I predicted that President Trump would contract the virus. I also predicted that Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders would too, so I am wrong there so far. Needless to say, I am sad to have been correct about this. I wish the virus on no one. I also had some more dire predictions I shan't mention. But needless to say, this will have an impact on the election just a month away. Matt Leising of Bloomberg has a story about booming decentralized finance, a potential haven for money laundering. For me, there is no potential. My theory on the creation of Bitcoin is that it was created to be a more efficient way to launder money. Why would the money launderers not want to invest in a better way to launder money? Money laundering is the third largest business in the world. Now, there are also some good things that come along with the development of cryptocurrency, but it should not be a surprise to us that money launderers are using these markets to move huge amounts of money. Some of the new innovations in DeFi have seen billions of dollars flow through in recent weeks. Who has billions to move like that? Think about it. And at least some of the players have money laundering as their motive. I admit my theory is a bit conspiratorial and out there, but for many whom I have shared it with, it is more plausible than Bitcoin being created by an anonymous Japanese inventor or group of inventors using the name Satoshi Nakamoto. The Purdue Exponent, the student newspaper I once wrote for, has reported that, quote, out of nearly 30,500 tests the university has administered since August 1, 900 of them have come back positive, according to Purdue's coronavirus dashboard, unquote. Purdue currently has 269 active cases and a 3.9% positivity rate over the last 7 days. We at JLN encourage you to get out and support Wall Street Rides Far this weekend. The event is now wide open to participation to all around the world. As Brian Harkins shared with us in this video interview you can find on johnlothiannews.com. You can sign up and ride and donate at www.wallstreetridesfar.org. Other stories from the hits and takes section. Sarah Rudolph reports the Options Clearing Corporation has cleared a new annual options record in the highest September ever for the corporation. September 2020's total cleared volume was up 65.7% from a year ago at $670,994,045 contracts, bringing the total cleared contract volume to date to $5,453,292,830 contracts for 2020 and surpassing the annual volume record for the U.S. exchange-listed options industry. The previous record was 5.24 billion contracts cleared in 2018. Chicago-based alternative payments platform AeroPay this week announced the closing of a seed round to accelerate its growth. Terms were not disclosed. The round was led by Continental Investors, a private investment firm located in Chicago that specializes in fintech firms with a portfolio that includes the mobile payments platform LevelUp, acquired by Grubhub in 2018. For additional details, see the newsletter from today. Today we have our monthly cannabis news podcast, this one titled Revolution Scores Big Wins in First Ever Illinois Cannabis Cup. Chicago-based Revolution Global, the sponsor of our podcast series, as it were, took first place in 6 out of 7 categories in the recent People's Choice competition, judged by more than 200 consumers. John Lothian News talked with Revolution COO Dustin Schroyer to get the details. Here are some more stories in the first read section of today's JLN. The FT has a story. U.S. regulator steps up battle with spoofing. Heavy fine for JP Morgan is warning sign for other banks. Regulators have delivered a blunt warning to banks to clamp down on high-speed financial market manipulation or risk blockbuster fines and criminal convictions for staff. U.S. authorities this week levied a $920 million fine on JP Morgan Chase for 8 years of giving a false impression of market demand in precious metals and U.S. government bonds by rapidly entering and canceling orders, a practice known as spoofing. The penalty far outstrips previous punishments for such misconduct. Bloomberg reported the stock trading revolution, how Robinhood and its rivals are changing markets. It used to be difficult to trade stock. Now it's basically as easy as downloading an app or sending a tweet. And what's more, it's completely free. Over the past year, there has been a revolution in how people can access the stock market. After a few companies started offering free trades, a move in late 2019 by one giant brokerage, Charles Schwab Corp., to eliminate fees, rippled through the entire industry. The Guardian has a story, how to move to Canada. Americans rush to Google after unwatchable debate. If you watched Tuesday's presidential debate thinking it was the height of civility, you're probably in the minority. For many Americans, it was enough to trigger a potential mass exodus. Trump plunges presidential debate into chaos as he repeatedly talks over Biden. Following the debate, derailed by interruptions, people speaking over each other, and insults hurled back and forth, Google reported a peak number of searches for how to apply for Canadian citizenship in the U.S. Our Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is KIN. After 2 years, a U.S. judge ruled Wednesday in favor of the SEC, which had submitted a motion for summary judgment. The motion said, "I hold that undisputed facts show that KIK offered and sold securities without registration statement or exemption from registration. Kik, the company that created a messaging app of the same name, as well as the digital token KIN, launched a public initial coin offering for the coin in 2017. In 2018, Kik received an official notice that the SEC intended to prosecute the company for running an unregistered and unlawful security sale. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was the Wall Street Journal's secretive high-speed trading firm hits jackpot with TikTok about Susquehanna International Group. Second was the New York Times, a YouTuber hangs out his own shingle with an auction website. Third was why Europeans no longer dream of America from the Financial Times. The MarketsWiki stats stand like this. The site has 189,211,389 pages viewed, with 24,441 pages and 226,181 edits. Have a great day, have a great weekend, stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.